I'm starting off with a verse today that we went over Wednesday night. And for those of you who were here Wednesday night, I actually commented on this when Lloyd read this verse. And it really struck an accord with me. As a summation of who God is and who I am before God. So let's take a look. I'm not going to read all of the chapter there, 12, but we're going to go with the last couple of verses here. It says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." One of the reasons that we come to worship, first and foremost, is because God tells us to, right? Because he is worthy of worship, honor, and praise. But also should be out of gratitude. Do we show that gratitude when we come in here? Think of a situation where you've been extremely thankful for something in your life, that somebody maybe did something for you that was very helpful at that time in your life, or did something that you really needed, or got you through a situation. How much gratitude that people will go and show in those situations. People have parties. People dress up for occasions out of honor and respect and gratitude. Do we approach our worship time with God in the same way? Do we bring that same gratitude before God when we come in here and we worship him? Do we show that when we sing, that we sing and make a joyful noise unto him, right? Not all of us have the greatest of voices. I'm not a very good singer. Christine can attest. She's the one that has to listen to me. But you know what? I sing loud and I sing proud. And I sing with gratitude. It doesn't matter if you hear me or you don't hear me. All that matters is that God hears me and that my true gratitude comes through in that worship. I am thankful. But you notice it goes on. It says to show that gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. This is a wonderful verse that we don't get to say what we do is or isn't acceptable to God. God gets to ultimately determine what is acceptable. But notice it says, with reverence and awe. If you do what you do with that reverence and awe, guess what? It will be acceptable to God because you'll be doing what God wills, because you have the reverence and the respect and the sense of awe to follow God's word and God's commandments, right? God is not happy with what we do for him. God doesn't need us to do anything for him. Why does a God that created all of creation, the heavens, the moons, the stars, the earth, need me to go down to the food bank and serve meals? Now, there's nothing wrong with that, right? If you have drawn with the right attitude and the right heart and you approach that in service to God, there's nothing wrong with it. But doing things just to prove to yourself or try to prove to God or to others who you are is not what God needs. That's not what God desires. God desires a contrite spirit, a broken heart, and desires most of all a relationship and a fellowship with you. Reverence and awe. For the last few weeks, right, Lloyd's been preaching about fear of God and how much, right, over 300 times it says in the Bible we are to fear God, and gone through, and we're not going to go through all that again, but what fear is, right? That fear that God holds every breath you take in your hand. But that fear then leads to the end of yourself and who you are before God, which leads you to that humility, which leads you to having the fear that leads to reverence and respect of God. but awe. How often do we take time to talk about awe? Or how often do we take time to be in awe of all that God has done and who He is? You know, God is, as the song, right, the Ancient of Days, ever is, none before Him and none after Him, right? He is God. He is the great I Am. Do we take time to look out across the world and those around us and see God in everything and be in awe of it? Lloyd had mentioned before leaving on vacation that one of his favorite things to do was, right, to sit out on the balcony to look out over the water and be in awe of the creation of God. I often like to do this too when I go on vacation. People go on vacations, we try to pick some pretty place, right? But in those places that we find those moments that allows us to reflect on God is and all that God has done. And to appreciate in reverence and in awe all of His creation. But it's easy to do when we see something beautiful, right? To look upon it and gaze upon it, or when we, you know, if you happen to be out somewhere in the country where there's not a lot of light and you can gaze and see all the stars on a cloudless night and be in awe and think of the significance or the insignificance of yourself compared to the universe. But are we in awe even in our quiet times before God? That when you sit down and you allow God to reveal Scripture to you and to teach you, are you in awe in what God has done? That awe and that reverence leads to that gratitude. That when we sit down and we pray and we read in God's Scripture, are we not totally left flabbergasted, laid bare before Almighty God, that He would even think anything of me when I am nothing before Him, to the point that He cares enough to have sent His Son that I might be redeemed and have a relationship with Him. And then when I do have a relationship, that He continues to teach me, that He continues to lead me, and He continues in His relationship and His promises to me. Does that not absolutely floor you? Does it not leave you with that sense of awe? And I think we have to take a look to get a really good understanding is that who God is, right? That God in His Scripture teaches us of who He is and He teaches us of who we are. But let's take a look in Revelation chapter 4. And I'm going to read quite a few verses here, but just to get a sense of this is John, right, and Revelation being allowed to see the things of heaven and the things of God. And even, we can't even begin to describe this, right? This is a man, in his words, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, right, to write these things. But after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, one sitting on the throne, and He who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and then in the center and around the throne, 4 living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf. And the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures, each one of them having 6 wings, are full of eyes around and within. and day and night, they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is Lord, the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." God's primary defining characteristic is his holiness. It is a level of holiness that none of us can even begin to truly fathom and truly fully appreciate until we're standing before him. This is when it said he's a consuming fire. I don't think we recognize that God is so holy that anything that comes before him that is not holy is consumed by his holiness. It's unfathomable to think that a God who is so holy that his holiness will consume anything provided a way that we could be made holy so that we may have a relationship with him. It is only by that new birth experience, it is only by the receiving of the Holy Spirit that we become the temple of God and that God resides within us that allows us to have that relationship and be holy ourselves as he is holy, for we are called to be. That we can and will be able to stand before Almighty God in his holy presence with that sense of awe, that sense of fear, that sense of reverence and respect. And then when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." It is by the very will of God that you draw your breath. It is by the very will of God that you are sitting here today. It is by the very will of God that you were even created. Are you even thankful? Or do you even show that thankfulness to God for being created? First and foremost, we worship God because he is holy. We also worship God because he is our creator, right? And we also worship God because he is the source of our salvation. We worship God because of his grace and his mercy that he showed to all of mankind by sending his son, Jesus Christ, that we may be redeemed, so that we may become his righteousness on earth. We worship God because he allows us to become holy and allows us to have that relationship with him. There should be nothing more that excites you than the opportunity to come in here and every Sunday. And Lloyd keeps making the same joke, right? Every Sunday's Christmas, every Sunday's Easter, right? Every Sunday, actually, I'll change that a little bit. Every Sunday should be getting even better and better and better, right? It doesn't matter the day of the year. It just matters that as you continue to grow in that relationship with God, as you continue to grow in that gratitude, that fear, and that reverence, that you come to a closer relationship with God and draw near by him. That gratitude becomes more and more of a reality in your life, and that you can't wait to get in here to express that gratitude and to worship God because he says so, but to worship him because he's holy, because you fear and respect and you have a heart of gratitude. Let's take a look at Psalm 8. And some of the psalms are fairly famous, right? A lot of songs that we sing in church and hymns that we sing, or even popular tunes on the radio that you'll hear on Christian radio, are taken from Psalm. This is one, but there's a lot of good truth here. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and the nursing babes, you have established strength. No matter how powerful a man thinks he is, no matter how powerful he's become as a leader or even a conqueror, there's a babe on that earth at that time that will probably surpass him at some point in the future, right? Shows the fleetingness of man, right? That as would-be dictators and kings and conquerors of old, at some point in their life, a baby had been born that would replace them, showing that the things of man are not eternal, but the things of God are. Because your adversary, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Showing an absolute reverence and respect and understanding that I am insignificant before God. And this is, Lloyd talked about, we might get into Romans, right, on Wednesday nights. And Romans 1 talks about, right, no man has an excuse before God because God has displayed himself in all of creation. When you look, and this is one of the things that even in the secular world, people always talk, oh, the universe is so vast and so, you know, unbelievable, and there's so many stars and everything, that puts things in perspective, right? God created all those, and those stars are suns in different solar systems, and there are even billions and trillions and, you know, uncountable numbers of planets out there. And each of those planets have probably uncountable numbers of rocks or grains of sand or whatever that grows on them or doesn't grow on them, right? That the universe is so vast and that everything that God has created is so vast. But who am I to consider myself before God? Who is that he would even consider me? But there's a big but there, right? In the sense that what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule with the works of your hands. You put all the things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea. Whatever passes through the paths of the seas, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God chose to create man for his purposes. This is that one of the things that religion delivers a fallacy of, is that God created you to have a relationship with you, and that God's just your big buddy. He's waiting to accept you at any time, right? That you can just approach God whenever. Some people are drawn to God in times of great stress or distress. Other people's in times of great joy. But God made man for his own purposes. God chooses and requires that he has a relationship with you before he can use you for those purposes. Although there are some, right, God will still use for, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, right, his will to do things that we can't understand that are evil because there's a purpose behind it, right? Jacob I love and Esau I hated. The twins before they were even born. Esau sought redemption with tears and could not find it because God would not allow it. God has a purpose in creation of man and in each and every man, but he provided an opportunity for us to have a relationship with him. And again, do we take time to consider, who am I before God? Why God would even consider me? God, how is it that you I cannot even begin to understand in your mercy and your grace and your love why you chose to call to me. And I am thankful, and my gratitude comes from the fact that I heard you and I listened. And you called me and you drew me in a relationship. You revealed and showed me to your Son, who revealed and showed you to me. And now that he sits at your right hand and intercedes on my behalf, that he is in the inner of the Holy of the Holies, that allows me to come before you because you've made me holy and allows me to have a relationship and to worship you. I'm thankful that you have cleansed me from sin, as we heard in one of the songs, right? That it's not that I've been forgiven. That's the fallacy of religion. You know, oh, I'm forgiven, right? You see that on the bumper sticker. I'm not perfect. I'm forgiven. Guess what? If you're a child of God and you've been born again, you are perfect. Are you just living up to that perfection? Yeah, it's a process, right? That sanctification is that process of putting that perfection into reality and living it. But how can we come in here and sing ho-hum, get up just in time to get here, not make our best effort, not even sit down and prepare? If you're going to attend Sunday school, do you read the verses before? If you come in here, do you approach it with the right heart and the right attitude that shows the fear, the reverence, and the gratitude? Let's take a look at Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where there is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. Everything is by the will of God. Why people go and try to force things on behalf of God, right? You can't. You cannot will something into existence. Only God can will something to existence. This is where we, as children of God, sometimes get in a little bit of trouble, is that we try to go before God. We try to force a situation. We try to force redemption or salvation upon somebody else, like we even could. The arrogance in that, right? That, yes, we all have loved ones we care for and we care deeply about, and we may know that they're living contrary to the Word of God, which shows that they probably don't have a relationship with God. And the very thing is that you want to do is you want to give them what you've got, but you can't. This is why you need to let God go before you, and this is why you need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you when to say something to that person. And what to say to that person. You know, how many times you've known a relative or somebody who's probably taken, I'm going to take the Bible over there, and I'm going to read them this, you know, the Romans Road and all these other things, these literatures, that man has come up with an idea of what to do. And it's all for naught. It is all in vain. Do realize that anything and everything that happens in this world is by the very will of God. For my hand has made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Just because God has provided a path and a means for the redemption of man doesn't mean that we have some sort of right to it. and that anybody can come to God just as they please and when they please. Right? Again, religion teaches that just come say this prayer, come take these classes, go through this process. When God says, I'm only interested in those who are humble and contrite of spirit, who tremble at my word. The arrogance to think that we can approach God at any time, the arrogance to think that we can lead anybody to God at any time. God, and this is where, you know, the misdefinition of love, that we feel like we have to help somebody who's struggling with something, but sometimes God needs them to come to the end of themselves before they can even hear them. Because if they don't come to the very end of themselves, how are they going to come to God with a humble, broken heart and spirit? But he who kills an ox is like one who slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb is like the one who breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering is like one who offers swine's blood. He who burns incense is like one who blesses an idol, as they have chosen their ways and their soul delights in their abominations. While he's specifically calling out here were, right, sacrifices that were done in vain. They were worthless, right? Even like the swine's blood, right? Swine's blood was considered, you know, pigs were unclean and not to be associated with or touched. That it's a matter of the heart before you approach God. And that before you can come to a place where you can worship God and have that gratitude and have that reverence and have that fear, you have to be brought to that point of where you're broken. You don't get to approach God at any time. You don't get to go through the motions and declare yourself a child of God. You don't get to say, just because I teach Sunday school, or just because I preach, or just because I went on a mission trip, that shows that I'm a child of God and that I'm going to heaven when I die. God is the one who determines that. And it is here that they show the fallacy of even what we see in religion today, right? People just going through the motions. I get up, I go to church. I went to church every day for 30 years straight, God. How could you forsake me? How could you turn your back on me? How could you say, depart from me, I never knew you? God cares about the heart and matters of the heart. That heart has to come to the end of itself before you can have a relationship with him. And then that's because we have to come to the end of ourselves before we can appreciate who he is. Before we come to that realization of what sin is and what sin has done in our lives and how sin has disrupted everything that is good, righteous, and holy in God's creation. And that I come to that point where I say, I don't want this anymore. I can't even do anything about this anymore. That's that broken heart and that realization that I am undone. And it is by purely the grace and mercy of God that I can approach him. That's the beginning of that humility, of that fear, and that respect. But it is through that process, and again, this is of God's own will and God's own choosing, that you receive the Holy Spirit. Right, but that there's a process that has to be before that, right? Faith has to come first, but by grace and mercy through faith that you receive the Holy Spirit. That's where the gratitude comes from. That who am I that God even considered me? Who am I that God even chose to call my name? Who am I that God even chose to give a gift freely to me? Do you thank God on your knees with that fear, that reverence, but most of all, that gratitude of what he has saved you from, what he has cleansed you of? God is holy. His holiness is a consuming fire. but God has provided a means for which we all can become holy that allows us to have that relationship for Him. Be thankful and show that thankfulness each and every time you enter in here. Because when two or more are gathered in His name, He is here. Come in with that fear, that reverence, that respect, and that gratitude. Be thankful and joyful that God allows you to come in here and to present your gratitude and to present Him as holy. Now, Dale, I think Dale said, right, I get to go to 1 o'clock today because of daylight savings, right? So, that's a good point. Stop. I encourage you to read the rest of the scriptures that are in the bulletin. Obviously, I didn't have enough time to get to everything, but be thankful. Show that gratitude before God. Present Him as holy. Fear Him. Respect Him. In all that you do and in everywhere that you go. Be that light and that example. And I'll give, I don't know what's in my own sister's heart. I've talked to her a few times. And all my life, never had these kinds of conversations with her. Maybe she's seeking answers, but the reason she's even asking me, because she sees in me God. And that she sees that there's something different about me now than there was 20 years ago. I'm not that same brother. I hope that she continues. I hope that God does hear her, but I'm allowing God to lead that process. I'm allowing God to work to bring her to that point in her life. But I'm there as a light and example, and I'm there that she may approach me and speak of these things, right? Don't go before God. Don't try to force situations in your relationships. But be thankful that in those opportunities that God gives you, that you present, make sure that you present Him holy as holy. And you show that fear and that respect and that gratitude. It's when somebody is seeking God, again, don't read scriptures. If somebody's going through a rough time situation, or you're there because of your sin, right? Well, guess what? Your sin stinks just as much as theirs. But be there and show them what God has done in your life. Tell them the things that you've struggled with. Tell them the ways that God has worked in your life to change your, and hopefully that shows, and that's why they're drawn to you. Make it real, make it practical. Don't try to, as Paul says, we are to, or Jesus says we're to do this. Show the gratitude to others. And that will do much more than you will ever realize.